Welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 190. That works.
He did.
All right with that. Yeah. Why didn't we do it for 160, 50, 40 and all the rest? Because we hadn't reached the dizzying heights.
What happens in 10 days? Day.
Your script breaks and we all have to start again.
No, my script doesn't break.
No, because you
fixed
it.
Not till day 1,000.
Sooner than you think, just saying. Ah, oh, Kim's been out with Kiva. Hello, Kim. Hello, Kiva. Oh, has she had a ball? Our little lady's had a ball today.
Literally.
New toy. Gnawing on it, she was. Hello, Jonathan. Are you all caught up or are you still delinquent, Jonathan? We need to know these things. Hello, Paul. How's it going down under? Not going too well here, but I wouldn't want to put out a spoiler alert. Not too early, anyway. Hello, Mike. Oh. hang on. Jonathan's all caught up. Loved after hours. Weird not being able to chat. Must have been so strange. And there was your avatar. You were there in spirit. And Tracy got very confused as to where you actually were. So, how is everybody this fine day? Unless you're in the UK, obviously. And the day has gone from bad to worse. We're at level 4. Oh, yes. We faced this today. That was about an hour ago, I think. So what happened was, you know, like you think, oh, I wonder if they're going to let us out. No, it's the short version. So we had the chief medical officer and his oppo, chief scientific officer. They did a press conference and it was like all doom and gloom. And there could be 50,000 infections a day in the next 3 weeks if we don't do something. But do what? Well, who knows?
Lockdown.
If people could just stop being stupid, I think we'd be all right. Of course, everybody here, not stupid. It's everybody else. Like the ones that hang around outside Jonathan's place. Hence them putting your own COVID testing centre in, Jonathan. CQ Deb. Jonathan enjoyed the dashboard. We thought you'd enjoy the dashboard. Obviously, the future dashboard would probably have been marginal more interest to you. But we thought you'd love the fact that 50% of MacBite's content has been put out in 2020. So we're declaring 2020 a resounding success. It's how you frame it, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
It's how you frame it. You don't think it can get any worse until Boris speaks. Boris is speaking tomorrow, I believe. Had a Cobra meeting today. Ooh. do our people beyond these shores, do you know what a Cobra meeting is? I could do with other words. You know, like, see? Clown. Clown would work. I'd have to work it out, but I do know what it actually stands for. MacBites is a glass half full 2020. It totally is, Paul. Totally. You don't see the live banner? Let's have a look. Oh, Mike, where's the live banner gone? That's not on. Live banner vanished. Mike, find it.
Did I disable it by mistake?
I've no idea, but mine says day 60, which I can assure you it's not. We are live, Tracy. We are. Yes. We've just got issues
is
today,
Is that the
clearly.
Big pink one?
No, it's blue. And it goes next to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. No, it's in the player.
Yeah.
It's a little blue flash in the player. Only I'm not seeing it either. Oh. No, I can't do anything about it, Mike. You'll have to do it. I'm catching up on my messages, Tracy, so I'll get back to you. Do you know, I don't think I've been on Facebook in about 3 weeks. And I know I've got messages on Facebook, but today did not start well. And I don't mean with the fact we're going back to level 4. The day actually did get a little bit worse. on a personal level. It did get worse on a personal level, but I'll share that in a moment. If you can imagine, on the news, you've got the chief scientific officer and the chief medical officer basically bringing doom and gloom and despair to the entire country. That's followed up by this, we're moving to level four. There are five levels, obviously four being one down from we're doomed. We're marginally doomed is level four. While all that's going on, this happened and I just could not stop laughing. This is Wandsworth Council, Wandsworth being an area of London. And in keeping with every other council, which is like councils run small areas of the UK, they're putting out a series of tweets in relation to National Preparedness Month. My first question was, prepared for what? But they put this out. So this is the story. That's the story. And the actual picky, if you don't want to be bothered with the story, is there. That's the picky. Well, there's a line in that story. So they send out this thing that says, grab a bag and go. Or grab and go bag. Make sure you've got a pencil, notepad, torch, first aid kit, personal toiletries, seasonal clothing, phone charger, battery bank, food and water, batteries, whistle and an emergency plan. Doesn't mention things like medication, does it?
No.
And stuff like that. What for? That's all it said. Well, people were crucifying them on social media, saying it was irresponsible and was creating alarm and anxiety. And they're quite right. But the MP just had me in stitches. She said, without any context, the tweet suggests a zombie apocalypse is imminent. And I thought, well, it is 2020. They got absolutely hung out to dry over that one. Unbelievable. Not live for Tracy. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong. It's working.
I could restart the server, but then we'd go away.
Let me open up another window and see.
I don't think it's us.
I don't think it's us.
It's a black box player, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you refreshed the page? That's a good starting point.
I've refreshed the page and I've tried another browser. It's got to be them.
But are you seeing it say day 190? Because that's what it should say.
I'm seeing it saying day 60.
But when you press play, is it us right now? We must be. It must be for some people because they're talking back to me.
Well, yeah.
Oh, it's been one of those days.
It's just our thing's not updating.
I think it's just the player. I think it's just the player. Oh, crying out loud. Deb has a live banner, but it says day 60. It's not day 60. Honestly, I did not type day 60. Let me check my... No, I typed in 190. Trust me, it should be saying 190. It's having a moment. But can you hear me today? Today being 190, the 21st of September. Right, let's catch up here.
Just get a blue marker pen and write it on your screen.
Today has been that kind of day. Wait till I fill you in about the rest of it. But I just thought the Wandsworth thing, absolutely hysterical. You know, they're telling you, it's such a juxtaposition of, oh, sudden emergencies. But the emergency's here, global pandemic. And they're telling you not to leave your houses. So what do you need an emergency bag for? And then the MP realises, when the zombie apocalypse hits. Well, it should be with us within the week, I think. Can you put 30 days of food in a backpack? Not really. I was just thinking, you know, by the time you've put everything somewhere. But again, to go where? Honestly, to go where? You can't go stay with friends and family, can you? This is ridiculous. That's something that should have been like binned in at the moment. I mean, they binned the elections for crying out loud. It's only a Twitter campaign. Just press stop. The bingo card wishes a meteor. It's only a matter of time, Paul, I'm telling you. Only a matter of time. You are hearing us live. Good. Right. I have no idea what's going on with the black box that is the player. I'll leave Mike to that.
I have no idea either.
That was the second half of my day. If you want to hear about the first half of my day. So, I left myself last night. Was very tired. And I've even got an 8 o'clock tonight, so it's like a treadmill at the moment with this course. So we get to last night, and I had a was it one or two? Oh, no, it was book club last night for 2 hours. So that was dealt with. That got quite heated and complicated. And somebody tried telling me something about Apple. That didn't end well for them. So book club was dealt with. That was 2 hours. Then I had an hour to get ready for the next session of the course. And then I was in the next session of the course. So by the time that had finished, I was really tired and had had enough of the week. So I thought, no, you are not heading off to bed without sorting out tomorrow. So I left myself notes across the desk of exactly what I was going to do the second I got up. But by this stage, I'd actually felt better. So I was not feeling that good. So I went to bed. So I gets up. And had those things been here a couple of days?
They came on Saturday.
Right, so the post had arrived on Saturday, but we'd not actually looked at it because COVID.
It's de-COVIDing.
De-COVIDing. So, first thing I spot as I head out of the bedroom is this like two-tray system that we have on the landing. And I knew that this was inbound stuff, not outbound stuff. So I looked at it and I could see from it that it was two letters from the bank. That was the thing that got me going initially, wasn't it? What was the other one? One was the water bill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That they wanted paying imminently. But the other two were from the bank. Now, for this to make any sense, you need to know, and where the technology comes into this, what is wrong with these people? All of this stuff can be automated. You guys and I, we try and automate so much. So automation... this should never have happened, not in my opinion anyway. It shouldn't happen full stop, but particularly not at the moment. So I know what the other one was. That was the council. So if you recall, the bank got in touch with me. And the bank was saying like, do you still want this credit card? And I'm like, yes, but it's on my Apple account and I only really use it for my Apple stuff. So, obviously, hadn't bought anything since the iPhones. So, in the middle of a global pandemic, when they're telling us they haven't got enough staff and can you please not ring the bank, they decided to send me a letter. And the instructions in the letter were, ring the bank. And I'm like, this is probably on some automated system. You should have pressed stop. Anyway, with that one, I decided I would ring the bank. So, I sorted it out. It's not, I think that one was actually talking to a person. And I said to her, why have you done this now? It's ridiculous. Because she's saying to me, oh, well, all our systems are very overloaded at the moment because of the COVID thing. And I thought, exactly. So don't send me a letter, the crux of which is I've got to ring you. But it was dealt with. As soon as that one was dealt with, they then sent me another letter about the same credit card. And tell me that they're switching from Visa to MasterCard. So now they'll be sending me another card. So can I ring them? And I thought, are you kidding me? Yeah, we've just been through all this with the same card. So I sort that one out. I thought, right, that's it. That's the bank done. Thank God. Next thing I did, you'll remember me telling you about when you register to vote. And Jonathan said that Manchester Council, the ones with the brains, you only have to contact them if there's a change, which makes less work for you and less work for them. But Trafford Council insist you get in touch every year and just say, yeah, no changes. Now, not that I don't trust Trafford Council, but after Mum died, they not only took her off the register, they took me off the register as well and killed me. And then I had to go through all the hoops to get back on. I don't trust the council. So I went through the process and I shared it with you guys and I said, you know, I'd opted for the online thing and then it was we want an email address and I'm like, yeah, you're not having that. So we go through the whole thing. I get the final screen that says success and I thought, still don't trust you. So what I was doing as I was going through it, I recorded it, just screen recorded it. So I had screen recorded the entire process. I had taken screenshots. I had PDFs. I might not have had the actual confirmation from them to my email address because, hey, who's going to give them an email address? But I had everything else. So picture the scene this morning. I pick up the mail. Apart from the fact that one of the items was a toy for Lola. Anyway, I opens the first one. And this is from Trafford Council. You've not confirmed your eligibility to vote. If you don't fill this form in, we'll send you to prison. I thought the form I filled in on the 8th of September at 16 minutes to midnight, that one you mean, the one I've got all of the screenshots of and the screen recording, that form, oh, let me at you. It says, if there's any issues, ring this number. So I thought, I'm going to put that one side because I'm going to enjoy that one. I'm going to enjoy tearing them a new one. So I opened the next letter. This one was from the bank. You know this credit card that we've bothered you about twice already this month? And I thought, what now? We've decided you don't need the credit limit you've got, so we're going to put it down. They'd reduced it by 80%. This is the credit card that I have registered with Apple. That would leave me with a credit limit that would not let me buy much. I wouldn't get my iMac on it, put it like that. I thought, you are kidding me. So I puts that one down with, I'll have to deal with that. Opens up the third one. Hello, it's the bank again. You know the other credit cards you've got? Yeah, we're nuking that limit as well. By this stage, I'm a little bit aggrieved. All of this is happening automatically and no one's pressed stop on the button. But like I said to Mike, they don't know your personal circumstances. They don't know whether you are ill with COVID. Because this is like, if you don't ring us, dead man's handle situation. If you don't ring us, it's nuked. But what if I'm not in a position to ring because, you know, COVID? Either me ill, me looking after somebody else, me not actually being at home and being able to get this mail within like 7 days, because we don't even open the mail on those days. So by this stage, I think I'd open the mail. It'd probably take me about 5 minutes. And I had a stack of things to do before I could do the things that were in my to-do list. Nothing puts me in a fouler mood faster. So I thought, which one should I start with? So I thought, I think I'll give the council the benefit of my opinion first. So I rings this number. Now, by this stage, you know, you get the little message. Let me know. Do you guys get this message? These calls are recorded for training purposes. I thought, jolly good. I'm recording it as well. So it's ringing and ringing. I get the message, like a pre-recorded thing. All our agents are busy at the moment. I thought, I'm not surprised. Do you mean the one with the candle and the box of matches that's in the office because no one else is there? That person? All our agents are busy. And I'm thinking technology should help with this, not make it worse. They've put automated systems in place. They've not actually put a brake on. Now something else has taken priority. But they cancelled the elections in May. So why couldn't they sort out the rest of this mess? So eventually somebody picks up. She says, I said, I've got a letter from you. So I told her what it was about. And she said, okay. I don't actually work for the electoral department. I just answer their phones. I thought, what do you want me to do about that, love? So she said, So I don't really know. And I'd said, you know, I've got this letter, but I've already sent it back. And that was all I'd said. Oh, well, I can't really do anything about that. I said, what do you want me to do with the form? You've sent me another one. If I fill that in, you know, how do you want it back? Do you want it on paper? Do you want it on the back of a pigeon? What do you want me to do with it? Because I've already done it once. I don't work for that department. And we're working from home at the moment, and it's all a bit difficult. I thought, I've worked from home for 25 years. There's nothing difficult about it. So I said, right. I said, look, this form. And she couldn't quite grasp either. She said, well, you need to confirm the changes. I said, there aren't any changes. There have never been any changes. I said, these two forms are identical. I said, the only difference is the date on them and the fact that you're telling me that you'll put me in prison if I don't fill it in. So she said, I said, I'm quite happy to fill it in if you like, but, you know, how can we do it this time so you don't send me another one? Oh, you mustn't have done it right the first time. I thought, sit down, dear. So I said, I can assure you I did do it correctly the first time, and I have a video recording of the screen doing it and screenshots. Would you like me to send them to you? I'll just ring the actual department and talk to them. Hang on. I thought, that's better. So she then talks to the department. She comes back and she says, I've sent them your information, and they said that it looks like it's overlapped. Because I actually said to I filled it in at 16 minutes to midnight on the 8th of September. I said, so you should not be sending me this after the 13th of September. So she said, so I've talked to them and they've got your information. She said, but the advice is ignore it. Sorry about that. Again, just a total waste of time, trees, effort, planets. What's wrong with these people? Good night, Jonathan. Unbelievable. Which left me with the bank. That was a farce. You've got to prove who you are, which is quite interesting, because the information that they want, I wouldn't say was totally private. So they let me in and they let me do it. Let's put it like that. But I had to ring up. And because you're not talking to a person, it's all automated. And again, automation. They don't tell you in hand what information you'll need. So you've got the long number off the front of the credit card. You've got the number off the back of the card. You've got the date of the card. You've got what type of card it is. And I'm thinking, I don't know what information they're going to want. But I can tell you this, because it's automated, they're going to want it inside a second. So I got 1Password up and sat it there. And they did. They wanted the long number off the front. They wanted the short number off the back. They wanted the name on the card. They wanted a date of birth. They wanted an address. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. It's such a waste of effort right now when people could be so busy doing other things. Either being ill, looking after someone. The grandparents can now look after the children again. So it's not just anybody could be busy. Crazy stuff. Just don't have us jumping through hoops. And the thing was, once I'd done it, this took 15 minutes. 15 minutes. And I said to Mike, and he's like, you're ranting. And I said, the thing is, all I ask is that I'm left alone. I've jumped through your hoops. We've all agreed I am who I say I am. We've agreed on a limit. You've upped it half a dozen times, but whatever. You know, I've not told you not to. So we've agreed on a limit. Just leave me be. And when I've filled in the form for the council, again, leave me be. I don't expect, you know, hearts, flowers and roses coming through the door every day. Just leave me alone. Because it meant by the time I'd done all that, it took me over an hour to get back to doing what I needed to do. And then I'm behind for the whole of the day. But the thing is, if you don't do it, then disaster will befall you. Like, you'll be in prison and the bank will be after you. So I had no choice but to stop and actually do it. But it infuriated me because we are so automated these days and systems in place and everybody's after more efficiency, and it's not. I mean, do you think that's efficient?
No.
Just press stop on these automated processes and leave it for a year instead of having people. I mean, OK, they all arrived on the same day. To be honest, if they hadn't, it would only have dragged on all week. And if there's one thing I loathe, it's dealing with people on the phone. So, of course, I'm sat here with an iPad and a second phone recording the phone conversations. So when I finally got through and it was, these calls are recorded for training purposes on the second lot, I thought, I know, bring it on. So once I'd finished, I'd got papers to scan. I'd got the notes that I'd put on it. You know, this was the time that I did it. And then I've got the audio files, and I've got to file all of the paperwork and all of the audio files before I even do anything.
The best audio recording was Peter B.
That's not far off me, was it?
No.
Has anybody heard the recording of Peter B? It's a classic from a good few years ago. And it was BT who rang someone. BT being British...
Telecom.
Telecom, that's right. Not telecommunication. British Telecom. And you... When you signed up for a phone, you had the choice of whether you went in the phone book and whether you took any calls from them trying to sell you stuff. And the crux of the matter was, this guy had ticked the box that said he did not want to be contacted. And they'd contacted him. And this recording came from them. So this poor unsuspecting guy at BT must have been unaware that the guy didn't want any phone calls. And they clearly caught him on a bad day. And Simon Firstin. Simon, there's a bit of an issue tonight. Do we have the live banner yet?
No.
Why don't you put up our live banner and then they'll know.
Okay.
The live banner should be working, but it's not, so people were concerned. But no, it's the 21st of September. Way live. How are you and the family doing, Simon? Still got fingers crossed for you. So, where was I up to with my saga?
Peter B.
Oh, Peter B. So this guy rings him and says, like, you know, would you like to buy XYZ? And the phone call was recorded for training purposes, became a classic. Need to put the pandas on. Oh, Kim, this one. I didn't dare put the pandas on at that point because it would have calmed me down too much. And I felt I needed an angry edge to deal with them because it's my time they're wasting. And, you know, when you've done it four times with the bank so far and another twice today, so there's six, and twice with the electoral service, and I'm still not confident that that's right. But I do have the recording, and it's a bit like, I'm sure I told you this one about the car park. Anyway, I'll finish the Peter B one. Eldest tested negative, that's fantastic. So you're all good. Still annoying, Mrs. Simon, still feisty. That's good to hear. Normal service. That's fantastic. At least you got a test. Tests are quite rare at the moment, aren't they? Do we have Peter B?
I thought we did. I thought you managed to find it.
Let's have a look.
And download it.
And it would be an audio file. Let's see if I can find it. If I do, it might be on a drive that's not mounted. I've got Peter C. That's a different Peter entirely, isn't it?
Well, I could reenact it.
Oh, it was a scream. Let me have a look.
There's a lot of bleeps in it.
There you go, Peter B.
Yeah.
Yeah, funnies. Right, can I get that keyed up? Yes, I can. There was possibly a lot of bleeps in this, but you know, I've given you the core of the phone call. I haven't actually heard it in ages. So if I'm going to hear it and you're not going to get screeching, then I'm going to need to put this on mute. So hang on. Am I now on mute? No, clearly not. That's better. Right, so I'll get the headphones on as well and we'll all listen to this classic. It's from January, year 2000. And it is this phone call from BT to a guy who does not want what they're offering him.
Please?
What the hell do you want?
Mrs. Carter.
What the hell do you want?
We're calling today to ensure you're getting the best value and service. BT have got an offer to you.
This fucking phone call up your pissing ass and get me off this. This is an ex-directly phone and now includes fucking British Telecom. Okay. We pay the fucking bills, now get the fuck off my phone line. Do you understand?
I understand, sir.
Good. Right. Well, make sure it's fucking written down don't ring me again.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll come and swing your scrawny fucking neck and I'm in physically.
No problem.
Do you comprehend?
Yeah, all it takes is a couple of seconds.
I'll cause you to go and fuck off.
No problem.
Do you comprehend?
Yeah, no problems. Thank you.
Good. Don't ever ring again.
Right. Thank you for your time then, sir. Thank you for using BT. Got him. Jesus Christ, Diane. Could you do me a favour and listen to that last call for me, please?
That's the best phone call ever. I know, Simon. He didn't give up, did he? Bless him, he stuck to his script. It only takes a few seconds. I mean, if a guy reacted like that, you'd just say, sorry, bye. Stuck to the script. So, are you going to now explain, Mike, that that's me on the phone to them?
Pretty much, yes.
Without the language. That was doing the rounds about 20 years ago, but it was an absolute classic. And at the end, if you actually, because obviously I've heard it before, if you time the gap at the end when he goes, oh, Diane, could you just listen to that call? It's literally like you can imagine him putting the phone down and going, oh, taking a bit of a breath, and then literally it was timed to perfection. Absolute classic. All it takes is a few seconds means he's as culpable as the fella who's mad. But you know, with him being that was my argument with people. That's why the bank don't have a phone number. They can't be trusted with a phone number. They had my phone number and it was a business account. And they rang me on the Monday morning and they started rabbiting on about this horse syndicate thing. And I said, no, I'm not interested. Please don't ring me. You know, you've got my number, but my number, you can put ticks next to boxes. And I tick the don't contact me unless there's an emergency box. By the Friday, they'd rung me 14 times about this horse thing, the horse syndicate. I was as screamy as he was at the end. And I said, take this number off the account. Do never, ever ring me again. And the thing was, by the Friday, Mum was involved. I think I was with her, and either she had a problem or we were arguing over something. And the last thing I needed was the bank interrupting. So, of course, she's in the background and she'd taken half these calls in the week. So not only was I telling them what to do, so was she. Just the fact he tried to stick to the script, like, you know, surely there's an emergency handbrake on the script. Like, if the person is a little annoyed, don't carry on. But clearly not.
I love that from Simon.
Wait a bit, like, let's catch up. It's amazing they don't seem to understand what no means. I know. They must have skin like rhinoceros, honestly. This is Simon. It reminds me of when BT rang and said, I know you filled in the boxes saying you don't want to be contacted, but this is an offer you're not going to want to miss. Do you know that would be illegal these days, wouldn't it, with GDPR? Thankfully.
So what did you do, Kim? Did you pay them 10 cents?
Paying off the student's loan. I went to a website, made certain I had the exact amount, so pay it in full. And a month later, I got a bill saying I owed.
You put the 10 cent piece, a coin, into an envelope.
It was the interest had accrued while the cheque was in the mail. I mean, what on earth? Unbelievable. These people, I mean, I know they have to have their accounts balancing, but you know. 10 cents, let it go. We had that on client accounts. They were called the fish files. So I'm working as a lawyer. I've got my own clients and I get these files arrive on my desk and they're from my principal. So my principal is like qualified solicitor while you're being trained for 2 years. And these files arrived with a memo stuck on the top that said, can you close these files? There's a reason for each one why it can't be closed. And I thought, is this some kind of quiz game? Or are you going to tell me what the reason is? So I went into the details of the file. And of course, you've got to make sure that every piece of paper that needed to be lodged at court had gone and that the bill had been made up and that the bill had been paid and that the opposition and all the rest of it. So I'm going through these files. And the upshot was that everyone had some kind of balance on the client account. And it was like 15 pence. And there was about 30 of these files and it took me like a day to get through them. But every one at the end, there was a memo on the top and every one had to go to accounts. And it was going to cost, you know, accounts were billed out at about £40 an hour. It was going to cost like probably about £5 to get this letter done, to get the cheque done or request the money in. It was going to cost like thousands. And I thought, why don't you just write off the 26 pence, the 15 pence? I think the smallest amount was about 4 pence. And to actually sort that out was going to cost about £100 that then somebody had to pay for. I mean, to me, if it was owed to the client, fair enough. But if it was owed to you, just write it off. It's cheaper. Because what would happen is they would then send the money in for the 4 pence, but then you'd have to process all that and then more would go on the bill and then you'd have to get. So it was never going to stop. This is why I have no time nor patience for this kind of stuff. Unbelievable. Simon, that is spot on. I know you ordered a vegetarian lasagna, but you're really going to love this ribeye steak. And Anthony got a letter through the post to the home address from the student loan company asking me what my home address was. This is when automation's gone absolutely mental. I asked to have the 10 cents removed as when I mailed the cheque for the cheque for 10 more interest had accrued. Exactly. That's the problem I had with illegal things. In the gap between... Right, we're now at zero. more money appeared or disappeared. Oh, it was ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Paul left a bank once and ended up with a credit card 13 cents in my favour. Each month they kept sending me a letter with the balance, which cost a lot more. Only told them to stop stop the waste of paper. Exactly. It's because, you know, automation, and, you know, we're all geeks. We all love our tech. Automation is fabulous. But when it goes wrong, it's like it can't be stopped. It is like the zombie apocalypse. Literally, logic's gone out of the window. No one seems to be able to say it, even if you get to talk to a person, like, okay, I'll deal with that, and actually deal with it. I mean, I remember a guy talking about the Peter B thing, sticking to the script. I remember this guy at Sky. Was it? It was Sky, wasn't it? Was it Sky or B? Dad's internet.
Can't remember. B, I think.
Could have been.
It was B.
No, but B had been bought out by Sky, that's right. So my dad's internet was with B there, and they got bought by Sky. So he had actually at this stage died, I think. I think he had actually died. So I ring them up and I say, I need to cancel this account. And he starts, and it's, I can't talk to you, I've got to talk to Mr. Giles. And I said, that's going to be very difficult. No, I've got to talk to Mr. Giles. I can't talk to you. And I literally wouldn't let me get a word in edgeways. And when he stopped for breath, I said, he's dead. And he went dead quiet. Oh, I said, so you're going to have to talk to me. I said, look, all I need to do is cancel the account. And he was like, right. Then he starts and says, would you like it free for 3 months? And I said, you know, and then he said, yeah, and then you don't have to cancel it. I said, it's not my account. He's dead. How long was I on the phone trying to convince? I said, look, I've got the death certificate. And he was sticking to the script. Well, I can offer you, if 6 months isn't enough to keep you, I can offer you, if 3 months isn't enough, I can offer you 6. Where can I send the paperwork? I said, care of the cemetery. He's dead. By the time I got off the phone, and I just said to Mike, thank God Mum wasn't dealing with it. You know, I mean, it's bad enough that my father had died, and then I've got to deal with all that kind of stuff. But I expect it. You know, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. It's ludicrous. So Deb got a summons letter from the courts to pay child support and appear in court on this day. I was thinking, what children my kids live with their dad and me? All the kids were accounted for. That's like Wilson the cat.
Mm.
We got a letter to say your cat's been registered with this pet registry. And I said to Mike, what cat? We haven't got a cat. And this cat was called Wilson. So I thought, that's quite an unusual name for a cat. Anyway, read through the whole thing. Definitely, it didn't have our name on it, but then it was addressed to Wilson the cat. So I thought, this is really weird. So I said to Mike, the only thing I can think of is that it's been done through the vet, and the vet has, even though they're computerised, have somehow mixed up the fact that we've got a dog called Mayo with the fact we've got a cat called Wilson. So I rang the vet. So the woman in reception answers, and I said, she said, how can I help you? Is it an emergency? I said, no. She said, fine. She said, I'm only asking you that in case, you know, if it's all right for me to put you on hold if an emergency comes in. So I said, that's absolutely fine. I said, so what's it about? It was, what's your name? And I thought, well, that won't actually help you. So I said, right. I said, we have a dog registered with you. Right, she says. I go to the dog register. I said, no, don't go anywhere till you've heard the full saga. So I said, we've got a letter from this pet registry. And she's like, okay. And I said, and it says, we've registered, the cat has been registered to us called Wilson. So she's like, right. That's your confirmation. I said, we haven't got a cat. Never mind a cat called Wilson. So I said, so what I was hoping was, I said, because I've got no reference here as to how this could have happened. I said, I was just wondering if you could search your system for a cat called Wilson. And then, you know, if you've got one, I'll send this to you and you can pass it on. So she searches the entire system and she says, we've got no Wilson registered cat or otherwise. So to this day, we have a cat registered here. And should Wilson ever go missing, this is where they'll send the paperwork, because we've no idea where it came from. No idea. Oh, that was a good episode of Matt Bites, wasn't it? Wilson, Keppel and Betty appeared in that show. Oh, it was a classic. Unbelievable. Right. Who was it that predicted by the end of the world would be caused by badly programmed artificial intelligence machines designed to make coat hangers and then realise use humans as raw material? That could happen before 2021, let's be honest. That could happen. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to automate something, there needs to be a dead man's handle on it, for crying out loud. Actually, Anthony, I did say to Mike, you know, sorry, we can only speak to the cats. I wouldn't have been surprised. They were going to suspend your driver's licence. This is what I'm saying about it going crazy. And you know, Deb, at least if you're the lady involved in this, you would know whether you had had a child or not. If you were a guy and that happened to you, you'd be like, oh, was I drunk that night? Have I got another child? That could cause divorce and death, couldn't it? Unbelievable. Kim's mum still gets mail from me at her house. Oh, good grief. She called the company to have the name removed. I told her it was cheaper to keep sending the mail. Oh, that's ludicrous. That's like that company with my dad. We did everything. It's called Chums. We did everything to stop them sending it. There were two companies that were sending things after he died. The rest weren't actually bad, were they? That council system worked, but just two. One was the Dogs Trust, because at his funeral, when you have like a collection instead of flowers, in fact, they do it as well as these days, it was the Dogs Trust. So after the funeral, the undertaker sent a cheque to the Dogs Trust and they sent a beautiful handwritten note back saying thank you very much. But what they did was put my mum, because it was her name on it, on their list. And every time something came through from the Dogs Trust, she'd get upset because her only connection with the Dogs Trust was when Dad died. So I had to get on the phone to them. The other ones who were doing it was this catalogue place called Chums. So Mum had a fit one day and just said, I can't handle this. So I said, give me the numbers. I'll deal with both of them. So I gets onto the Dogs Trust. So I explained what had happened on the mailing list, etc. And they were absolutely fabulous. She said, I totally understand. I'm very sorry about that. She said, we don't normally do that without like a positive, yes, we want to stay on the list. She said, it must just have got through somehow. And I do sincerely apologise. So she said, she's off the list as of now. She said, but we create like derivative lists and they won't all be updated for 3 months. She said, but I guarantee you, you may inadvertently get one between now and 3 months from now, but after that you won't. And they were as good as their word. So I thought, I'll just have to intercept it. So Mike and I were on like interception duty with the mail, but they didn't. We got nothing from them. But Chums was a totally different business. We just couldn't stop them doing it. It said, you know, if you don't want to receive this mail at this address, just send it back and put a tick on the box at the back. Well, I did all of that. I was fighting with them for over 6 months. And of course, every time one of these catalogues appeared, I mean, it was comical. Mike would come in from work. So I'd nip downstairs. I'd see something in the door. And, you know, we've got like a porch. So I open the inside door and I can see the mail on the floor of the porch. And I'd have to pick it up and throw it in the garden so she didn't see it. And then say to Mike, you know, when you're going out with the dog, can you pick up the mail? I've just thrown in the front garden before she finds it. It was ridiculous. The lengths we had to go to, and it went on and on and on. And I'd rung them, and I'd in the end, when it says, like, you know, tick this box, I actually wrote across the front of it, you know, please redirect mail care of Sale Cemetery, you know, or the crematorium or something. It was utterly ridiculous. They would not listen. In the end, I had to ring up and say, I want to speak to your director of date or something or other, and they hadn't got a clue who I was talking about. But I said, you know, it's illegal for you not to put me through. Let's just say by the time I'd finished with them, we never heard from them again. But it shows it can be done. They just can't be bothered. They just can't be bothered. And that's what annoys me. That's what gets computers and geeks and people who love computers and automating stuff like us a bad name. Because it's like, oh, no, I don't want anything automated because, you know, you can't stop it. No, it's just badly done. Obviously, I automate loads, but I don't automate stuff like, well, you've got one today, haven't you? He's totally forgotten what. Let's just say a Catoonian mail went out this morning. And who did it go out to, Mike?
Peter.
Who died on Sunday. Nobody thought to take him off the list. Now, he didn't have email anyway. He had an email, didn't he? But he didn't have devices to get to it. So that's gone to his wife, who's just lost her husband. It would take 2 seconds to take him off the list.
I've done it.
And nobody thought to do it, apart from you. But we thought of that, didn't we?
Yeah.
We built a system.
We have a deceased column in Notion.
Yep.
Sounds rather sick, doesn't it?
No, it's important.
Yeah.
Because your alternatives were, you know, as we were building the system, you obviously build a system.
See you, Paul.
Bye, Paul. You obviously build a system based on, like, best expectations. So we're building this system. It's like, we need the name. We need the surname separate so we can sort alphabetically by surname. We need this. We need that. And then I said to Mike, what do we do when they die? So Mike said, well, I'll just delete them. And I said, you can't do that. You'll break the referential integrity for the other tables. I said, wouldn't it be better to leave all of their information there, but just kind of, you know, mark them in some way so they're not active? So we do. We have a deceased column. And since we built that 2 years ago, there must have been...
It's been quite heavily used.
Yes, it has. Probably about 8 to 10.
Yeah.
If not more. But it works. You've got the information there that was relevant. If somebody said, oh, did so-and-so go to that event? You know the answer, even though they've died. But, you know, it wouldn't be the first. It's not the first time somebody sent a mail out to somebody who's died. I doubt it'll be the last. The worst case of that was a friend of ours who had, let's say there were two people in the Catoonians. They're both called Fred. One died. So he, in his contacts, obviously knew this guy had died. He taps Fred. Phone rings out. Lady answers. He said, can I speak to Fred? And he realised he'd tapped the one whose husband had died and just asked her, could he speak to her dead husband? He was mortified, wasn't he?
He was.
But, you know, there is an answer to that. Update your contacts ASAP. Just saying. Because, you know, you can laugh about it when you're not involved, but my mum would have gone mad.
Yeah, I need to update the birthday spreadsheet.
Yeah, because you don't want to be announcing birthdays either. They did that, the council. If I get a lightning dongle, can I transfer my photos to an SSD from the phone? Yes, you can. When you say an SSD, lightning, do you mean a card? With that, you can. In fact, it's quite forgiving these days. If you can get a USB pen drive attached to it, you don't need the lightning dongle. You could have a dongle that makes it USB and just plug a standard drive in. So, yes, you can, is the short version to that. No, I'm thinking about the classic with our Trafford Council. Never let them loose. Never let them loose. In relation to this giving you a refund, they wrote to my grandmother, addressing it to my grandmother and saying you are entitled to a refund on your council tax. And then underneath it was like a pro forma, and they'd put a tick in whichever of the three options applied, and they actually had a pro forma option that said because you are dead, and that arrived and my mother opened it. And I just looked as she was reading it and I thought, this is going to go one of two ways. She's either going to go completely orbital, and bearing in mind, she'd already had 3 strokes. I did not need her having another one. Or she'll just laugh like a hyena over it and say how stupid Trafford Council were. Luckily, she took the last option. But, you know, literally, that could have given her a heart attack. How unfeeling and insensitive is that? And they call us geeks, but we had it all sorted. If there's a tick in the deceased column, don't send them anything. It's completely logical. This is why I rant about programmers. When they've got these little programming courses for kids, let's teach everyone to code. No, let's not. Not at that point. Let's teach everybody to think first and then teach them to code. Because getting the code syntax correct doesn't mean that you've built something that won't cause more harm than good. Programmers need to be sensitive to other issues before they make great programmers. Yes, luckily she did have a sense of humour with that one. But, you know, can you imagine me sat there reading it? And she said, because she said to me, you know, I've not got my reading glasses, which I now understand because I wear reading glasses. And I'm reading it out and I thought, I can't on the fly quick enough make that sound any less bad than it is. But thank God she just laughed. And she said, that's typical of Trafford Council. I mean, just who? That isn't even coding, is it? That's a pro forma piece of paper. Because this is like 30 years ago. No, 20 years ago. 22 years ago. Somebody somewhere had to like say, well, this is what the form should look like. And these are the three options. And somebody had to sign that off. Really? Unbelievable. Do we teach kids to think anymore? It seems not. It seems social media gets hold of them before we do. I'm thinking back to, I was actually using a computer by this stage. I had my own and I was very interested in computers. But there was, to be considered a full-time student in the UK, you have to do 21 hours. Was it 22? 22 hours a week. This was in the mid-80s. An A-level was 7 hours a week. And at that stage, I was doing three of them. So I had 21 hours, as did most other people. So to get this full-time student thing, they had to put an hour of something else on. And the something else that they decided to include was a list of 10 subjects. And they were very diverse. And it was the idea that you would pick three, and for one term each, you would do one of the three. So I looked at the list, and they were really dire as far as I was concerned. One was PE, you know, phys ed. One was dance, interpretive dance, in your pants, in the gym. And what you had to do was put a number next to, you know, your preference. Number one, what was your first preference, second preference, and so forth. I thought, if you think I'm even putting dance at number 10, you're deluded. I thought, my logic was, if I don't put a number next to it, you can't put me in there. So I started looking at the rest of them, and some were equally bad. So I thought, I'm just going to pick three. And in the end, I actually think I put two. But if I put three, I can't remember what the third one would be. But trust me, dance and phys ed, no, didn't even apply. But I put down computing and I put down one about interpretation of like modern media. First term, I got the modern media thing. Loathed it with a passion. Absolutely loathed it. But the second term, I got to go on the computer one because I wouldn't go anywhere else. And it was fabulous. He taught you critical thinking. How often should you clean your patient's teeth? And they said 6 months. When I asked why, they couldn't answer. This was so good because everybody but me was probably at a level that they'd never thought about computing. But that is the level these days that they're saying, learn to program. But what he did was he said, like, well, we're going to write a program. The language didn't matter. We're going to write a program to make a cup of tea. So you tell me what the steps are. It took us an hour because people were saying, like, put a tea bag in the cup. He said, what cup? And people didn't understand. And I said, get cup out of cupboard. And he went, get cup out of cupboard. And then it was like, where are the tea bags? Check that. I mean, if it was a program, you couldn't just say add a tea bag to the cup. You would have to say, check the level of tea bags in the tea bag store. If greater than one, add to the cup. It took an hour and it was things like boil the kettle. Have you checked the kettle's full? Oh, darn it. Put kettle underneath tap. And then he said, and turn tap on. Then it was, you know, do while it's filling until it's full. And then take the kettle away. And then he said, like, did you turn the tap off? And at the end of that session, they had a complete different understanding of what it took to write a good, solid computer program. And that was probably the most valuable session. It wasn't about where the commas go and the full stops and what language you're writing in. It was making sure you understood before you even touched a computer the type of job you were taking on. And when they talk about coding for kids, that to me is the bit that's missing. No one ever talks about that. Good night, Simon. And we got quite cranky with it, you know, because it was taking so long. We wanted to actually see it. We never actually wrote it in the end. We wrote it in like pidgin English. But then we got to actually program things and we were much better for it. Absolutely much better for it. Oh, so after my 8 o'clock, which is on in 5 minutes, I'm going to have to dive. After my 8 o'clock, I'm going to put the pandas on for 6 hours, Kim. I'll be fine. Exactly, Paul. That's it. You need to teach the children to think, rationalise stuff, because only then can they take away the principle and apply it in different circumstances. But so many people are like that guy on the call with Peter B, where it's just stick to the script, stick to the script. He's screaming at you, never mind, stick to the script. That's where AI is always very interesting, because it's very artificial, but there's not much intelligence going on. But today I fended them off. So at the moment, I'm thinking of bricking up the door. Just, I don't want any more posts in the morning. I'm not looking at Trafford's Twitter feed in case they're suggesting that we pack a bag when we've nowhere to go. We'll see how we get on. Oh, Anthony did that. Write programs in pseudo spelling and then write it in proper code. Exactly. Yeah, and it worked really well. That way anybody could program, because you're only doing it in like pseudo English, like you're saying, do that until X. And then the syntax of the actual language you're writing in, it doesn't matter. And that's what I find, you know, I've never had to relearn how to program just because I'm programming in a different language. My biggest frustration is when I'm programming in a language I'm not familiar with. So I always remember we were Aspen VB, weren't we? Mm. We had to write this code in PHP. So infuriating, because you know exactly what you need to do, but syntactically now you need to get up to speed really quickly on the syntax, or you're all over the place, but you know what you need to do. So do I, Anthony, just to get the logic right. Exactly. You hope the rest of my day goes better, Paul. Well, there'll be no more incoming posts today, so I've got good hope it will, but you will all be able to think of me calm as anything just watching the pandas. I will be panda watching very shortly after my session at 8, which is now in 3 minutes. So I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.